Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey guys, it's Watt Harris here with another Panther Rants podcast. It's a lovely Thursday. In fact, it's done nothing but rain in Houston about the last 2 weeks. I mean, we usually, which is odd because we usually go, I think, from good part of the year without rain. It's mostly just a lot of heat. But we're getting a lot of the aftermath of the tropical storm still. And I won't complain too much because at least I get to walk, go outside and walk at work without having to, take a shower or whatever. At least it feels like it. But anyways, guys, another week in a college football ahead of us. There's a game tonight. ACC matchup. Pretty big one. But let's start off with Pitt in Central Florida. Pitt's playing the defending national champions. Obviously we know Bama won a national championship, but you can say that, you can make the argument that Central Florida can claim it as well because, they finished undefeated. They had a hell of a run, but unfortunately, the way the format's set up in college football now, pretty much any teams outside the Group of Five really don't have a chance of ever competing for a national title. As if they haven't before. I think they had a better chance. With the BCS format. But I don't think they're ever going to win one or have a chance to compete for one. But they, you never know. They might. I think if they expand the field to 8 teams, and I say, have at least one Group of 5 team in it, or, outside a Group of 5, whatever you call it. That'd be more sensible, but they love this 4-team format, and I'm sure they're gonna expand it because this past national title we saw two SEC teams play for it, which is not the first time that's happened. We had Alabama, LSU playing for national title a few years back, which is why we had the playoff format, because people obviously weren't happy that that this happened. The Big Ten, obviously, one season was trying to get Ohio State and Michigan to play for a national title again because that's how they felt. So the Big Ten wasn't really complaining if that was going to happen. They were going to embrace that, having two teams on national championship. That's bragging rights. But when it happened for the SEC, then all of a sudden the Big Ten wanted to go to the playoff format. Not to mention their conference started to fall apart. But in terms of Central Florida for Pitt, this team obviously is going to be similar to North Carolina. Only difference is this team has got a wealth of players back. And they have them, even without Scott Frost gone, and he's obviously getting his ass kicked in Nebraska, Central Florida hasn't missed a beat. Not at all. They're still at it. And they're going to still go. What the? Come on, man. So, obviously, some person just hit into my car. Eddie almost rented somebody. I was looking to move up the line, but of course this person, I guess, was trying to cut in front of me. This is what happens when you try to be fucking nice to people. Excuse my language, people. Alright, now let's see if I can move up now. But obviously, back to what I was talking about, this team ain't gonna screw around with Pitt. They're a team with nothing to lose. Although North Carolina had nothing to lose either. And they had a whole bunch of guys suspended, and, you know, they didn't play around with Pitt either. Not one bit. So, as far as Pitt goes, I'm not sure what they can do. I don't like their chances in this game at all. After what I saw in North Carolina, even if they refocused, I'm still not sure. I'm still not optimistic that, you know, that's a bad day today for Nissan Altimas on the road. The person who sent me was a Nissan Altima driver, and this person almost caused another accident. Was a Nissan Altima driver. So, I'm losing my train of thought. So, yeah, I'm not sure what Pitt can do in this situation. And, I read a whole bunch of articles, and some of them started to make sense about, you know, what the problem is with Pitt's, you know, what's going on with Pitt in general. Especially the second half thing. And one thing that Alan Saunders, if I butcher your name, you know, if you listen, I apologize. One thing he said that was hurting Pitt was, you know, field position. Because, for one thing, they have a punter who can't kick for shit. And, of course, they're always getting stuck with bad field position. And their offense, obviously, isn't really suitable for a whole lot of stuff. So, a lot of that makes sense. And plus, not to mention, Pitt can run the ball a lot. It just... Pickett obviously still got some ways to go, because obviously he's still staring down receivers. He's not making his reads fast enough either. He's not getting the ball fast enough out. Which it makes sense, because there's some plays I saw that were, you know, where he had receivers open. Even, you know, like, because a lot of times he would check down. And if you look at the, you know, replay, you'd see he had some guys open. You know, Taysier Mack was one of them, but I guess supposedly on some, you know, from when I was reading the articles here, you know, he was staring down Mack on a lot of plays, which is obvious. You want to get the ball to his hands, but teams are going to know that you're staring a guy down, and they know you're going to throw to him. So anyways... You know, defensively, obviously, Pitt loves the 4-3 base, and that's what Narduzzi likes, and obviously we're sticking with that, but, you know, some they got to make adjustments somehow, because the offenses are finding ways. Because, you know, when I used to watch the Big Ten and their offense and their defenses, especially Penn State's, and one thing I always learned with them is they're really good against really inferior offenses, but if you put them up against more athletic teams where they can spread you out, they always had a hard time. Like for instance, you know, the Penn State defense with Posluszny, Connor, and them, very dominant defense. But I remember 2007 when they went to play, or 2006 they went to play Notre Dame. And this is when Charlie Weiss was still there. Charlie obviously had a whole wealth of weapons at the time because Willingham left them some really good players. Notre Dame destroyed Penn State in that game because, well, basically Charlie had a whole bunch of athletes on offense, plus a veteran QB in Brady Quinn. He spread out Penn State's defense and just picked them apart. And that's the thing with these, with Narduzzi's Big Ten style type of defense, is they'll be dominant in some aspects, but if athletic teams, especially in the ACC, spread you out, they're gonna have a field day with you, just like we saw with North Carolina. And basically, what we're gonna see now, probably with Central Florida, because I really don't see them winning this game. And I think maybe they'll get some things right in this game, but obviously they have ways to go. And you know, I said on paper they were capable of winning. They were a 70 win team. They would probably be, but on paper, they should be a 9-10 win team. It just depends on them. And, well, we could be looking at less than 7-8 wins the way this is going, because a lot of these games now aren't really penciled victories anymore. But anyways, guys, have fun on Saturday. Trying to get too drunk, drown your sorrows in that game, because I just don't see it happening. But let's go to the rest of the weekend. All right, Miami and North Carolina tonight. And obviously, North Carolina come off a big win against us, naturally. I think so. I think, what's her faces? I think Miami's going to win this one. I like Miami. I like what North Carolina did last week. And they have a lot of confidence. But I think Miami with Mark Richt, they're going to take care of business and go to 4-1, because they're not going to, Miami has more athletes than Pitt, more talent, and I think they're going to be able to handle what North Carolina gives them. So, yeah. I like Miami in that one. I think North Carolina will give them hell, but it won't be enough. Syracuse and Clemson. If this game was at the Dome, I would love Syracuse. Maybe at least the cover. Clemson, I think, pulls this one off. They made the decision to go with a different quarterback, and one guy's leaving. And I guess he's a senior with 1 year left. And somebody on Twitter said, I think it was Dokish, he said, if only if he would come to Pitt. You know, as if we have enough freaking senior, fourth year transfers. I mean, Pitt's becoming the land of the misfit quarterbacks. Hey, your college career's a bust, transfer here and try it again to Pitt. Because Lord knows who. I mean, who have we had all of a sudden? We have Nathan Peamer, which worked out for us. Max Brown was a failure. No offense to Max, nice guy. He just wasn't that good. We now got Ricky Towns. We got Jeff George's son. So yeah, let's just all your transfer bust quarterbacks belong to us. But anyways, I like Syracuse in that one. Never mind. I mean Clemson. Maybe Syracuse a cover, but Syracuse hasn't really been tested yet. They played Florida State, but Florida State's under Willie Taggart's terrible. We all saw how bad that went over. Clemson's more of a different animal. Tennessee and Georgia. Georgia obviously will take that one. Tennessee's not going to probably win another game in the SEC for a while. They're just bad. They could have had the Shiano man, but, you know, certain people have led a social media movement to get him fired all of a sudden, you know, or at least his contract pulled. And they used the Sandusky thing as a way of destroying him. Although, to be fair to Greg, it's not like he was, you know, complicit in that whole thing. It was more of he worked there and he heard, you know, rumblings of it. I mean, it's amazing how these coaches had rumblings of all this and or knew had some sort of knowledge of it. But say, hey, you know, Jerry's back in the locker room with one of his kids. Hey, yeah, Baylor at Oklahoma. Baylor's, if you're betting this game. Oklahoma's getting 23 is a 23 point favorite. Baylor usually plays them close, but I think Oklahoma pulls it off. But I think they cover. Texas at Kansas State. I think Texas wins, but I don't really think that Texas is as good as their 18th ranking. TCU was a better team from top to bottom. The only problem is TCU's quarterback sucked and made a lot of really bad decisions in the pocket, and hence. That's why Texas won that game. Virginia Tech and Duke, big ACC matchup. Tech is 22nd to come off a loss. I think they recover to beat Duke, but Duke could actually win this one. I mean, I was hard on Duke early in the year, but they're slowly becoming that dark horse. As everybody thought they would. I wasn't buying the hype because last year I didn't think they were that good. Some marquee games at night. Obviously, we've got Ohio State and Penn State. It's at Penn State. Ohio State won last year, and they had a lot, you know, with a lot of senior leadership, and they were losing that game for the most part, and Penn State obviously choked that game away really bad. This time around, I like Penn State to win this one. Ohio State really has been tested, and they've really been. I guess they have a starting quarterback, a new starting quarterback, and he's going to be in a hostile environment. They played at TCU, but TCU's fan base isn't that big, and they were playing in Arlington in that big ass stadium, and really, it's not really that hostile environment to be on. If we're being honest. So I like Penn State in that one. I think they're gonna pull that one off. As long as they stick with Miles Sanders and not get hard up on forcing Trace McSorley down people's throats. And that's been the problem with a lot of Penn State's losses is they try to. Trace is all right. He hasn't been mind-blowingly good this season. He racks up a lot of his stats when the game is meaningless. But I like, I like him this time around. Although Penn State's defense looked really slow against Illinois. That's the one Achilles heel of it. If Ohio State's able to establish the run early and spread them out, I think it could be a long day for Penn State. But that's the thing. Ohio State needs to run, you know, establish the run. They get their, you know, to take some ease on their quarterback. And they're going to have to quiet that crowd down really early as well. But, yeah, regardless, I still like Penn State in this one. Stanford, Notre Dame. Notre Dame really hasn't played anybody, but they're ranked in the top 10. God, maybe a pitch should just do that. Change your name to something that, you know, I'm sure at 2-2, Pitt would still be ranked if they were Notre Dame. Stanford obviously had a big test last week, and I think they're gonna, you know, I think they're gonna go and take care of Notre Dame. Notre Dame really hasn't played anybody, and Stanford's a lot better than a lot of teams they've played. And I think Stanford takes care of this one because they took care of Oregon. Yeah, Oregon had a big lead, but Stanford was able to take control. And, of course, force a big turnover at the end, the last of them. The only thing you think of is maybe they're worn out from that game at the, you know, their name just, falls to the wayside. Let's see, BYU-Washington, BYU 20th ranked against them, like Washington. BYU obviously gives teams fits, but I like the Huskies in this one as well. Then there's Oregon and California. Oregon come off a disappointing loss, but I think they recover and they take care of Cal. And, of course, honorable mention, there's Mississippi State and Florida. Tough loss for the Joe Moorhead-Luke Getsy combo last week against Kentucky. Kentucky obviously is for real this time around. I think Florida handles them. In fact, you know, the games at Mississippi State, I'm going to take Mississippi State because I forgot Florida really isn't that good. I mean, they're, you know, they're not bad. They're not great either. All right. All right, guys. Now, the rest of the ACC, because we love this conference so damn much. Let's see here. We got Temple and Boston College. I like BC to recover from that disappointing loss of Purdue to knock off Temple, to go to 4-1. Temple sucks. I'm not sure what happened to them after their coach left. I forget the hell his name. It's the Penn State alum. Oh, Matt Rule. I'm sorry. Yeah. He comes back and, well, he's at Baylor now, but they've Temple's gone on a downward spiral since he left. Which maybe shows Baylor how lucky they are to have him. But, yeah, they lose that game. Tech and Bowling Green, Georgia Tech. I think finally Paul Johnson gets in the win column. Ends that losing streak. Virginia, NC State. This is a big matchup here. Big ACC matchup. Especially, you know, a lot's on the line here for this game. You know, basically what's on the line is who finishes second place to Clemson in the Atlantic Division. Virginia knocked off Louisville last week. But they have a bigger test with NC State. And I think this time around, NC State takes care of them. Rice and Wake Forest. Wake should win this one easily. Rice, for someone who went to the games when they won the Conference USA Championship, that team really went on a downward spiral after that. And the final coach last year. And I think they kept them, personally, I think they kept them for one season too long. Recruiting really fell off, and it's just hard to recruit players at Rice because of, you know, the academic and everything. They get baseball, but somehow they get baseball players, though. Don't know how they do it. Louisville and Florida State. Good Lord. This game is probably going to be one of the worst matchups in the history of college football, or at least ACC for this year. Both these two have been on a downward spiral. Louisville was mediocre when Lamar Jackson was there last year. Now they're even worse without him. And Florida State is William Taggart, so I mean, if you're betting on this game, I would stay the hell away from it because you don't know how it's going to go. It's going to go either way. But, you know, for Florida State, if they want to save their season, they got to win this game. I'm sure, Willie Taggart has to realize that, Florida State doesn't mess with a lot of things. Their trustees don't play around. I mean, they're the same group that wanted to leave the ACC for the Big 12, or at least explore the option, which was dumb. But, I like Florida State in this one in overtime. Well, guys, that wraps up the weekend of college football from my preview. I'm still in traffic. No one's hit me again yet. Thank God. But as far as the rest of the whole thing goes, the Steelers knocked off Tampa Bay on Monday night. And I wasn't surprised by it because Brian Fitzpatrick, I watched him in Houston. He's good for maybe one or two games, and then he has a bunch of crappy ones. Although this one, he started off really bad. But he didn't recover in the second half. He did pretty well. But the Steelers barely held on for the victory. And the Steelers, you know, still made a case of not having to pay Le'Veon Bell anything. And really, they could probably lose without him. I mean, they got guys stepping up, you know, out on offense. I mean, you know, J.J. Schuster obviously is doing some big things, and he's really grown in this offense. Just, you know, despite being lit as fuck, as some people complain about. But, you know, obviously this team has ways to go yet, and I'm not sure how they'll end up. I mean, the whole NFL weekend was just wacky. So was college football as well. I mean, I predicted a lot of things, and I've really struck out a lot of them. But closing out, obviously with Pitt, you know, it's like predicting Pitt football and having all these optimism. It's like when you pick your daily fantasy lineups, and you know, you think you have a really good lineup, and then of course when the game start, you realize that you're screwed and your guys aren't scoring like they're supposed to, and that, or maybe one of them one or two of them at the last minute are healthy scratches or sitting out the games. That's just pretty much daily. It's pretty much Pitt athletic, you know, Pitt football in a nutshell. I'm not sure where the season goes now. It's a tough one, and unfortunately, we're just going to take it game by game. Is all we really can do. But anyways, guys, I'm out of here. Hell to Pit. Bye.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.